I begin with words that are not my own. Life is always motion and change. Fueled by the fruits of sun and soil, water and air, we are constantly growing and creating, destroying and dying, nurturing and organizing. And as we change, the world changes with us. The human community grows ever larger and more complex, and in doing so demands ever more from the natural world. Every day we reach deeper into the storehouse of the Earth's resources, put more of these resources to work, and generate more waste of every kind in the process. The actions of any isolated group now reverberate throughout the entire world, but we seem unable to breach the chasms that divide us from one another. Is our civilization stuck in conflict between isolated nations, religions, tribes, and political systems, divided by gender and race and language? And now that we have developed the capacity to affect the environment on a global scale, can we also be mature enough to care for the Earth as a whole? Later, there is indeed a spiritual crisis in modern civilization that seems to be based on an emptiness at its center and the absence of a larger spiritual purpose. Those are the words of Al Gore from Earth in the Balance, Ecology and the Human Spirit. And again, we see that linking together of how we treat one another, the separations and the divisions between us, and how we treat the Earth, and how we have depleted the resources around us and torn apart the beauty of the creation around us. And then he speaks of an emptiness inside ourselves, and that this is somehow connected to our lack of connection with one another, this spiritual emptiness, this longing for something more, this unknowing about what God is or where God is or how God is, and that isolation in ourselves perhaps is a huge part of what causes that isolation between one another, that isolation between us and the world in which we live, because we're isolated from our own selves and from our own source, from God. What if those problems are all the same problem? That's what I hear in that passage. That's what I hear when I just reflect on what it means for God to be everything. If we are disconnected from any one of those pieces, what if that's all the same problem? The separation between each other that we create, divisions of race and class and ethnicity, the violence we inflict upon each other, the war that brews when we don't understand one another, when we seek solutions to the pain and the emptiness that we feel and lash out in violence against each other. What if it's all connected? Our complete imbalance in the systems of our world, the financial and economic organization, the systems of haves and have-nots, the way we can live in relative comfort. I mean, we're not hugely, extravagantly wealthy by our standards, but by other standards we certainly are. The way we can live in relative comfort and never have to worry about whether a mosquito bite is going to kill us. Well, there are others who fear for their lives in places of the world where a single germ or infection can mean death, or where there is not adequate water or food or shelter. What if it's all connected? Our abuse of the world around us, seeing it, treating it as a means to our own ends, just stuff for us to use for our own enjoyment, and not valuable and beautiful and sacred in its own right as God's creation, but just the stuff around us that exists for us to use. And so we continue to deplete the resources around us, and so we have climate change, we have warming, we have $3.60 for a gallon of regular unleaded gasoline, which is a major inconvenience to us, but really means that the resources that the planet has are getting harder to find and harder to distribute, and one day will be no more? What if it's all connected, that emptiness that so many of us feel inside, that sense that if there's a God, that God is way out there somewhere, so distant from us that we have no relationship, we have no connection. Just something that is whether malevolent or benevolent, is out there, and we're here, and never the two will meet. Maybe there was that one guy, Jesus, but you know, since then, God is so fundamentally far away from us that we feel empty inside. Forget stories about Adam and Eve and a garden and forbidden fruit and all of that. You want to know what I think sin is? What I think the fundamental brokenness in the human experience is? It is this. It is our utter separation from God and our utter separation from all that is God, from each other, from the earth. It's all the same thing. That is what I call brokenness, true, original sin inherent in all of us, that we see ourselves always as separate from God and separate from each other, separate from all that is God's. But if all of those are connected, what if the answers are all connected too? What if the answers to how we are to treat one another and to how we are to lift one another out of poverty and despair and disease and oppression and to how we are to treat the earth around us and all that has life and how we are to be in relationship with God, what if those answers are also all connected and all the same? What if we were to live in such a way that we really believed and really embodied that God is the one in whom we live and move and have our being? If we live like that, we can make no distinctions, no separations between these different parts of our lives, because it's all one life. It's all one part of how we live in God, how we treat one another. We can no longer have those separations and those divisions between two people because we are both in God. We can no longer look the other way when someone is living in poverty or terror or sickness. And there's something we could do to help, but we just turn around and walk away. We can no longer do that because we are both in God. We can no longer treat the earth as if it exists just for us to get resources from, just for our enjoyment, because we know that it too is God's. And we can no longer treat ourselves as if we're something that is distant from God. We can no longer treat God as a distant other, separate from us, if we know that God is in us and we are in God. We are in God, living and moving and having our being. It's all part of that whole. We know these connections exist. And I talked about them a little bit earlier. We know these connections exist between, for example, poverty and disease. You know, we see very, very easily that those who have less available resources, fewer resources to stay healthy, to eat good food, to drink clean water, are more likely to get sick. And we know, for example, that those who live in places that are prone to ecological disaster when a hurricane does hit are the ones who are least able to get out of the way and least able to rebuild in the aftermath. We know that the divisions we feel between each other, we know this on some level, are really the divisions we feel within ourselves. And that our own fear and anxiety about who we are and whether or not God cares about us gets acted out in how we treat each other. We know these things are all connected. And so what does it mean to have the solution begin with a simple verse? And I mean, I love this verse because Paul is talking to non-Jewish audiences. This is one of the first times. You know, in the Gospels we see the message being given to people who have a background in the Jewish faith, who have the Hebrew Bible and, you know, that belief in God that kind of carries throughout. And just the message gets placed on top of that and added to that and as a completion of that, and people can kind of grasp that and move forward with it. Here we see in the book of Acts the disciples intentionally reaching out. And so we see Paul going to a place, to a group of people who do not have the same foundation religiously, and saying, all of this that you worship as unknown, I think I know what it is. God is the one in whom we live and move and have our being. And if that's the case, then God is everywhere. And we are in God, the way a fish is in the ocean, or maybe even a sponge is in the ocean, because the water is even inside the sponge, you know? In God, living and moving and having our being, the way atoms, subatomic particles are inside atoms, just whizzing around, the way planets and stars and satellites are in space, the way creatures, beautiful, precious creatures, are in a vast and wonderful creation. We are in God, living and moving and having our being. It is all the same thing. As you know, we have two students who are continuing in the confirmation process, and so we had a meeting this past week, and one of the questions that we kind of tossed out is, where is God? And where isn't God? Is there any place God can't be? And, you know, the confirmation students kind of thought about it a little bit, and one of them came back with, well, no. I mean, God's in everything that lives. And maybe even the things that don't live, like just the ground itself and the rocks and the, you know, and not just on earth, but, you know, everywhere in the universe. If there's a place to be, God's in it. And if there's a place that God isn't, well, then that place doesn't exist, because God is everywhere. And I pushed a little bit. I said, okay, but what about people? What about, I mean, I know God's in me and God's in you. I like you, you know, but what about people we don't like? What about, I mean, I don't mean like, you know, I don't like her because I didn't like the shoes she was wearing. I mean people who do horrible things. I mean people who murder and do terrible things. Is God in them? Well, whether they know it or not, whether we know it or not, yeah, God is in everyone. And they say kids these days just aren't very religious, huh? God is everywhere. And there is no place that God can't be. So the Romans, the Athenians that Paul is speaking to, they built these shrines, they built these temples, they built these statues, trying to kind of cover all their bases. You know, there's a God for every kind of corner, and a God for every season, and a God for every emotion, and a God for kind of every aspect of human life, to make sure that we've got God covered. And even, just to be safe, an unknown God, just in case there's anything we missed, to an unknown God. But are we really so different? Every time we try to confine God to a building or to a denomination or to a movement, are we really any closer to knowing God? Anytime we try to say that God looks like us or talks like us or acts like us or privileges us above others, are we really any closer to knowing God? Anytime we try to say that God is in a particular place, even if that particular place is heaven or out there, as opposed to everywhere, are we really any closer to defining God? Or are we not just creating our own little shrines, our own little temples to an unknown God, covering our bases, trying to understand by putting God in a box we can identify? Are we any closer to knowing God? I propose that it's time for us to bring these frightening and boggling problems around us together, to bring the solutions together. Because the answer begins. It's not an easy way to live. It's not, you know, snap your fingers and we're done. But the answer begins with that one simple premise, that all is God and all is God's. That we are in God. That God is in everything. And that if we live like that, we cannot foster these differences, these separations between us and God. And if we can't be separate from God, then we can't be separate from anything else that's God's. The earth, the people on it, our neighbors, our enemies, our dear friends. Let's build a different kind of shrine, a different kind of temple. A temple that is made of people living together despite their difference. Loving together despite their difference. A temple that is made of worshipers who lift one another up because both are of God. A temple whose pillars are the trees, whose tile floor are the sands and snows and earth and pebbles of every continent, whose worshipers are not just every human being, but everything that is and draws breath or has life in it. Let's build a temple that is made of our own hearts. Our own hearts connected to God, turned to God, tuned into God, not separate as God somewhere out there, but God everywhere in us, closer than our next breath. A God who is what gives us life and movement and being itself, as one of my favorite theologians, Paul Tillich, would say, being itself, just that we are, means we are in God. Then we will be worshiping a known God, a God who is everywhere and in everything, a God who is as close to us as we are to ourselves, a God who cannot be unknown, who cannot be separate, who cannot be different from who we are, a God in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen.